we're continuing with our perpetual talks on transformation. Talks on perpetual transformation. And today I've been briefed with giving the series title, Celebration. That means I'm on early and we're going to turn back to worship shortly. Now, I confess that I thought the kids were going to be in, so I have prepared quite a lot for them, and if you're bored or feel like a kid inside, then, well, as I do sometimes, then you know by all means follow them, because there's a duck which is going to turn up in various places. I don't know if you can. The duck will appear on a letter, and basically you have to collect all the letters and then no. Jarena, no. all right. Let's start with my plan for today. We're going to start by digging out foundations, all right? Obviously, you know, when you want to build a talk like this, you have to start with some kind of foundational thing. So we're going to dig down first by looking at the things that trouble us, all right? And whatever troubles you, like in my case, my illness, obviously. In other people's case, it might be poverty or what else? Anyone? Relationship breakdown. I'm sorry, I can't hear. Well, yeah. Worry.
Things not going as planned.
Things not going as planned. Maybe war, famine, that sort of thing. These are the things that trouble us, and we're going to look into that first. Then we're going to have a look at God. And the chart has about 183 piles underneath it, holding it firm on the London clay. So we're gonna try and establish three pillars, which will support the building. First, God the Father, then God the Son, and then God the Holy Spirit. And then finally, I'm going to bring us to the point. Can I suggest you try and list all the things in your mind that you can praise God for? Because, as I say, there will be a further chance to worship later. All right, so let's get going. I'm sorry, I've got my notes here and my hands don't work very well, so it's right. So digging down, then, life is troublesome. Anyone not getting any troubles? Right. There are no exceptions. None. Everyone. 8.2 billion people on Earth, and they all have trouble. Whatever person you like, all right? By the way, I know that Terry Crews is a Christian, actually. He's the one on the right smiling. He's smiling because he knows the Lord. Even Gary has problems. True? Gary, is that true? No, so you don't have any troubles? And there's one facing him now. All right. So there's so much trouble in the world. I mean, what have we got? We've got civil wars we can mention, we've got famines, we've got loads of disease, an extra disease because of a certain person who's ruled out any giving from America. It's hideous. And no country is exempt. You know, maybe famine in one place and obesity in another. All right, but Jesus has overcome. In this world, are you going to do it?
In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world.
Yeah, now there's something to get excited about. Okay. Is there a duck? Oh, yeah. The old clicker isn't always working. We have one God. Only one. One God, not three, but one. Okay? One God in three persons. All right? That's what we say. That's why we say triunity, or rather compressed trinity. Triunity. And they're always in agreement. And they're always in every location. Always. So that means they're not just in space somewhere, but actually in this room now. It's kind of scary, really. But he loves you and provides for all your needs generally. But he also permits trouble. Now, the thing is this. God is not a frowning man, a frowning old man, you know, with a big white beard, with a heavy stick in his hand to beat you up. He's loving. He loves you so much, and he wants you. There's one place that can resist him, one place that you control that can resist him, and that is your life, your heart, whatever, your soul, that sort of thing. Let me switch over into a kind of prophetic mode and say that we are in this place because we know that we have trouble and we know who to turn to. However, some people are still in an eddy in the river, and maybe you know you're going round and round on the same old track, same old, round and round, not moving on with the river, but just, keep going back to the same old sin or the same old worries or whatever it is. And we need to break out. Please think about your life. Do you need to break out? Okay. There's the duck. Come on. There we are. Okay. So, God the Father, because He is God, He loves you. Obvious. And now, just out of interest, He is the person in the Trinity who sends. He sent Jesus into the world. He sent the Holy Spirit. And that role makes Him sound greater than the others, but He's not. Don't confuse His role with His nature, all right? His nature is God, but His role is to send. And the other two persons of the Trinity are always the same nature as God, but they have different roles. I mean, obviously, you know, Jesus was sent to die for our sins, and the Holy Spirit is sent to, I'm anticipating. Let's go to this.
This is the way God loved the world. He gave His one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life.
Okay. By the way, the NET is the New English Translation, which I find both readable and accurate. So, God loves the world, and that's why He sent His Son. All right, now let's move on and have a look at God the Son. He is God. He's uncreated. And although He was in the form of God, He did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped. Equality with God, you see, right there. Sorry, I'm just checking that I haven't missed anything out. Right. And He loves us. That's why He died for us. That's how His love was proved. And He rose from the grave to overcome all human trouble, all of it. So remember the troubles we talked about, and the eddy of trouble, round and round. Well, He rose from the grave to overcome all of that. Now, that photo, by the way, is of kids heading towards Buchenwald concentration camp. So it's often the people who have gone through the greatest suffering who have the strongest faith. Yeah. There's a famous famous in Christian circles, Betsy Ten Boom, sister of Corrie, dying in a Nazi concentration camp, said to her sister, "We must tell them."
We must tell them that there is no pit so deep that He is not deeper still. They will listen to us, Corrie.
Come on. All right. So, the purpose of suffering, yeah, then, is to get you to open your door to Jesus. Whether you're a Christian or not, I mean, this was spoken to Christians, or written to them anyway, but it can still apply to people who don't know Jesus. So he's standing at the door and knocking.
Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me.
Now that's rather interesting, isn't it? If you can break out of your eddy, then you will sit with Jesus. How about that? That's a future I would like. But, yeah, let's look a bit more closely at victorious. What are we victorious over? Well, let me run through a few. Of the world of violence, greed, and self-indulgence. Sorry, my speech is beginning to go. I can feel it. And I hope you can still hear what I'm saying. All right. And not normally get somebody who can say, I can still hear you, but I'm willing to change places with somebody who can't. All right. Anyway. Victorious over sin, you know, anything you do wrong that offends God. And victorious over evil powers. Although we have God, we also have an enemy. So, again, if you want to be victorious over these things, then we need to break out of your eddy. Okay. Do I need to point it at something? Oh yeah, thanks. Thank you, Andy. Yes, please. Now, I've got my vodka here. I mean, my coffee. Is this vodka as well?
Of course so. Do you want anything to look like to kill me?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that should be all right. Is that a bit clearer?
Yeah.
Oh, good. I do apologise. So let's have a look at what we can say about God the Holy Spirit. Well, he's kind of mysterious, really. Sometimes he's talked of as a person, sometimes he's talked of as a kind of commodity, like pouring out oil or something. The Father sends the Spirit to be his presence on earth now. He's the one who is right here in this room. Now, as you sit there, just consider that. He's right next to you, right surrounding you, trying to push into your life. But you control that. So what's he going to do? He's knocking at your door. Will you let him in? He's actually surrounding 8.2 billion people, trying to knock on their door as well. Okay, let's reach out to him. He's the one who gives power to break out. His power. I mean, where you haven't got the strength, he has abundantly. So here's the point. All right, the Holy Spirit is here for you. If you know you've kept God out of your life, talk to somebody today. If you know you're stuck in an eddy, talk to someone today. Now, if you're just wanting to talk with God and his people, you can while we break bread. But please do it quietly. We want to let the Holy Spirit into our lives to work on us. Well, I do. And then after communion, we'll have another opportunity to worship. And all being well, we'll have more reason to celebrate. Okay.
So as we go into communion, I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves." So perhaps just leave a few moments before we actually take communion so we can think about making sure that we're examining ourselves and that we're right before him.
Okay. Well, would you mind turning on the projector? So, oh no. not from the beginning. Anyone got anything to celebrate? No one? Oh, good. So, well, it doesn't matter. There it is. Yeah, good. So, finally, we get up to the point of celebration. So, moving on with God, with God should be enough reason to break out. The whole room to break out and to celebrate. So, as we sing, if you're like me, I can often fall into singing on autopilot, you know. I'm thinking about something else and singing the words. automatically. But today, because we're on this particular topic, let's try and think very carefully about the words that we're saying. All right, thank you very much. Oh, one last thing, the ducks. Anyone look at the ducks? They spelt celebrate Jesus.